This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I once invited some children to draw what they thought God looked like. After a few moments, one picture really stood out for me. One boy had drawn a massive red question mark. Then he proceeded to sit back, smile and wait for everyone else to finish their pictures. His job was done. None of the other drawings, though, said quite as much as his picture, that God is a big mystery. The Bible gives us a much clearer impression of God. We catch a glimpse of him in a vision in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, which says, "There before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian." This reading also captures the awe and majesty surrounding God seated there on that throne. It reads like this: "A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in the front of the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the centre around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'"
Jasper, carnelian, shining from your face, colours that shimmer from your throne of grace. Offered to us now, elders surround you, holy men of old, seated in splendor, wearing crowns of gold. Thunder and lightning, seven lamps ablaze, sea made of crystal. On this side we gaze. Four living creatures, many eyes of fame, tell of your wonders, speak your holy name. Father Almighty, holy blessed Lord, who was, is, and shall.
That was The Throne of Heaven, a song from my album Giving It All to You, based upon that reading from the book of Revelation. In today's gospel reading, the disciples have a similar question mark over them concerning Jesus. Who is he? And how is it that even winds and waves obey him? Let's listen to that gospel reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning to read at 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So here the disciples have caught a glimpse of the glory and majesty surrounding Jesus. Let's listen to the first verse from one of my favourite songs, sung by Ruth Notman and Stuart Townend, from the album The Journey. It's called The Man Who Calmed the Sea.
See the stricken boat as it is tossed upon the sea. Hear the fearful cries that wake the man from Galilee. He stands before the raging, speaks peace and harmony. Winds and waves obey. He is the man who calmed the sea.
Have you ever felt out of your depth in taking on a new project? I remember standing in front of a class of children for the very first time as a newly qualified teacher in 1971, gazing at them all and thinking to myself, "Wow, this is scary. I'm actually responsible for the education of all these children this coming year. Will I be able to provide for them all and meet all of their individual needs? And will they behave for me? And will I cope if they don't?" I think the disciples in today's gospel must have felt rather daunted when Jesus first called them to follow him as his disciples. Did they ask themselves then, "Will we be up to the task? What will be expected of us? What will be our new responsibilities?" But whatever it was they were thinking, each new day must have been exhilarating, each new day a real adventure. But now this. They've come face to face with someone who displays mighty power over nature, and they're absolutely in awe of him. Not only have they discovered that Jesus' teaching is revolutionary, that he was telling amazing stories, that he's challenging the religious elite and healing people, even on the Sabbath, but now this. Here are some beautiful words from our next hymn. In simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like them without a word rise up and follow thee. It's called Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, sung by Allard Jones.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. We clothe us in our rightful mind, in purer lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise, in deeper reverence praise. fast arriving seas. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace.
Of course, Alla Jones was singing a duet there with his younger self, and not many singers get a chance to do that. But that was a beautiful traditional hymn there, containing a beautiful prayer asking God to speak to us through the earthquake, wind and fire, with his still small voice of calm. Here among the disciples were fishermen who understood what it was like to be at the mercy of the kind of storms that raged on the Sea of Galilee. They knew how vulnerable and powerless fishermen felt when they were caught up in these squalls. The other disciples will most likely have travelled at sea at some part of their lives, and they too would have known how terrifying it was to be caught up in rough weather on this lake. There in the boat, they looked to Jesus. What was his reaction to this terrifying storm that was buffeting their boat? Was he panicking? Or struggling to maintain his balance? Was he gazing upwards to see how bad the storm was going to get? No. No, he was asleep in the stern of the boat, unperturbed. We too can find peace through the many storms of life if we lean into the everlasting arms of Jesus. He's alongside us in our troubles, and he wants to save us. He wants to rescue us. But we need to trust him, regardless of what happens. Here's a lovely version of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms by the group Selah, with Todd Smith, Alan Hall, and Amy Perry.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. So near, leaning on the everlasting arms.
The sea in question here was really a large freshwater lake known as the Sea of Galilee, which is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. My husband and I once sailed in a small boat on this stretch of water, but then it was calm and clear and a beautiful shade of turquoise. But this lake has always been subject to sudden violent storms where winds whipping down from the Golan Heights to the east are caught up and compressed and come hurtling down between the hills to the lake where waves have been registered as high as 10 feet. That's just over 3 meters high. Such storms in this region can stop as abruptly as they begin. That's well known. But this calming of the waters occurred at the precise moment of Jesus' command, "Quiet, be still." The disciples had cried out to Jesus in their distress, "Teacher, don't you even care if we drown?" And Jesus woke and calmed the storm, leaving them astounded. I wonder if you've been in a difficult or really trying situation where you've attempted to pray and all has seemed futile and you've asked yourself, where's God in all this? Is he asleep? Is he even out there? Does he even care? And your faith and trust and hope disappear into nothingness. I'm sure you, like me, sometimes despair about the state of the world too. There's not a day goes by without hearing about some kind of violence being carried out somewhere in the world, or some form of man's inhumanity to man. And there seems to be so much cruelty and aggression perpetrated against the innocent. And once more we ask, where is God in all this? Is he asleep? Just like the disciples who approached Jesus to get his attention in that boat, let us seek out God regardless of our doubts and fears, and keep on keeping on with our petitions to him. I don't know where I'd be without God in the chaos of this world, to be quite honest. Psalm 62 offers great comfort when winds and waves are overwhelming us on our journey through life. Here's my version of Psalm 62, 1-8, and it's called "My Soul Finds Its Rest in God Alone."
My soul finds its rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock, and he is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. Thank you.
I read recently, faith does not exempt us from the storms of life, but it equips us to go through them. When we're in the will of God, no storm, however severe, can take us under. But you know that we don't learn a lot about faith when we're safely living in security, do we? Jesus said something very strange to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16. He said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus never said we would have it easy, but he did promise to be there for us, and even were good out of bad situations. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well, wrote Julian of Norwich, a 14th century Christian mystic who had intense visions of Jesus. She wrote this when she was seriously ill on her deathbed, and she did recover. She put her trust wholly in God in her life, and also for eternity. So, all was well regardless within her. Let's listen to those words sung by Stuart Townend. "It is well with you, O my soul."
Now when peace like a river attendeth my soul, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, then whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul.
This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for being with me today. And my thanks also to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills. Andrew, do you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
I want to leave you with a beautiful blessing to complete our programme today. Once more, it's Alla Jones singing. This is Deep Peace of the Running Wave, and it's Rutter's version. Let's try to visualise each phrase being sung here and breathe in their beauty of the running waves, the flowing air, the quiet earth, the shining stars, the gentle night, and the deep peace of Christ, light of the world. Do have a good week. Bye for now.
Deep peace of the running wave to you. Deep peace of the flowing air to you. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the shining stars.